All that I need is to be with you and in the quiet hear your voice. All that I need is to be with you and in the quiet hear your voice. Let's pray. God, could it be true that that is all we need? Could it really be true that in the quiet we could hear your voice? God, could it be true that if we trust the pattern, life will be blessed and good and full? God, today, open our hearts, open our minds, that we could hear your voice. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks for letting me come. It's good. It's good to be, that Sally lives close enough that when I forget some of my stuff, we can go home and get it, you know, while you guys are finishing up class with Danny. I appreciate what you're doing here in many ways that we'll get to as we go here. But I do have a handout to pass out, Sally, if you could get some of your friends in the front of you. I guess they're your friends. We do have this handout. One of the things, I have a couple of goals in life, and one of my goals in life is to preach in shorts, okay? And I'm thinking this is the right place, and you are the right people, and that, and next week, I'm breaking it out. I'm going to have shorts, flip-flops. I'm going to kick the shoes off. And so I'm just warning you ahead of time. This is one of my life goals I plan to accomplish next week. However, I'm not sure after this morning that, I'll tell you why in a minute, that I get to come back next week, but I think probably we can make it. Mark 12, we're going to come to this passage in just a moment. But a little context of this. Jesus is in the last week of his life. And what's going on? He's going back and forth, spending the night at Bethany, which is a couple miles from Jerusalem. And he comes to Jerusalem in the daytime and stirs things up. Then he goes back to Bethany at night and he spends the night with Mary and Martha and Lazarus. Then he comes back in the day. This is his last week of his life. And pretty much what's going on, it's a week that's full of conflict. It's full of arguments. It's full of traps. It's full of condemnation. And some of the traps are traps Jesus sets. And then some of the traps are that the Pharisees and Sadducees set, and some of the condemnation is from them to him, but some of the condemnation is from Jesus to them. And you really see that in the Gospel of Matthew as he whoops out the woe to you list. And but this is what's going on in this week. And then in the text that we're going to kind of focus on today, there is this moment of honesty. And it's a moment of hope. And I think it's a moment of revelation. And I think it speaks to us, too. And this is what happens. One of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked, "Of all the commandments, which is the most important?" Which is the most important? Which gives you an idea that most people think, including Jesus, understanding his answer, that some commandments were more important than others, right? Which is the most important? Well, this is, and he's going to get ready to say so. The most important one, answered Jesus, is this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this. Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. Now, this finishes out, and this isn't on the PowerPoint, but it says, well said, teacher, the man replied. So the man is like, okay, I wanted a straight answer. You gave me one. I respect you. You are a teacher. And he says, you're right in saying that God is one and there's no other but him, and to love him with all your heart, all your understanding, all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself is more important than all burnt offerings and sacrifices. And when Jesus saw that he had answered wisely, he said to the man, you are not far from the kingdom of God. So in this moment, there is these, I think, priorities that Jesus is laying out, not only in that setting, which is any second going to lead to the cross, but also in our setting right here and right now. But I want to kind of step back. Well, just to say this, the story's in Matthew 22 as well. And in Matthew 22, Jesus ends up saying that all the law and all the prophets are summed up in these two commands. They hang, he says, on these two commands. But I want to notice that before the two great commands, there's another command. Okay, notice the text. There's another command before the first two. Not necessarily greater, but it's important you don't get to the first two unless you obey the second. And that command is, hear. Hear. Hear, O Israel. The Lord is one. Love the Lord. Love your neighbor. But hear is the first thing he tells them. Now, the Hebrew word, and Jesus is quoting from Deuteronomy 6, the Hebrew word for hear is the word shema. Now, if you say shema, then you're probably wearing boots and have a redneck. You can't say shema. I want you to say this with me. We're going to say it together. Shema. 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 Now, even though I'm a Texan as well, and probably, you know, not that great a great Hebrew accent, still I'm closer than Shema, so we can say Shema. 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 Shema becomes very important for Jews, even up to this day. This is their morning and evening prayer. They say Shema, and they just call it Shema. It means hear. That's what it means, hear. They say Shema, and Shema is the whole thing. Shema includes love the Lord your God, love your neighbors yourself. This is Shema, and they say it every morning, and they say it every night. 7 days a week, Orthodox Jews are going to say the Shema every day. This is really, really important. The context of Shema was Deuteronomy 6. It's the end of Moses' life, and most of Deuteronomy is a sermon. And he's preaching to all the crowd who is, or the left, they're the ones who, after all the wandering in the 40 years, the first generation out of Egypt has died, and they're getting ready to go into the land, and he's going to repeat the law. And he just got through telling them the Ten Commandments right before this. But even as he's telling the Ten Commandments in Deuteronomy 5, he begins that by saying, hear, Israel. Hear, Shema, listen to this. And the word Shema is interesting because it not only means hear, but it also means obey. It means do. It means I want you to hear this, but I also want you to do it. I will know that you've heard it if you begin to do what I just told you. And we use this word sort of like this, but the way I want to tell is that the Hebrew word joins two imperatives. You know what an imperative is? It's both something that's very important, and it's also kind of a command. It's like, do this. One is here, the other is do. I call it, the one concept is the here do. Here do, Shema, it's here do. It's like this, when I was a football coach, when I said jump, I wanted my players to say how high on the way up. They're already jumping. I want them to say how high on the way up. When I say jump, you jump. You know, you're not any debate about this. Not, are you sure? No. Here, do. Shema. Here, do. You've had things like this too. My dad was often, he would use it, he would say it like this. Son, always when he says son first, that's a bad sign for me. Son, did you not hear me when I told you to take out the trash? And I thought that was odd because, of course, I heard him. But what he was going by was the trash was not taken out yet. So he asked, did you not hear me? He didn't say, why haven't you taken? He said, did you not hear me? One of the things that the prophets in the Old Testament, Jesus as well, the greatest prophet, but one of their most common, I think it is the most common, most often used accusation was that the people didn't listen. All over the prophets, they didn't listen. They didn't listen. They didn't listen. God said this, 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 and they didn't listen. What that meant is that their behavior was not matching the instruction. It wasn't anything wrong with their ears. There was something wrong with their heart. Shema. They didn't hear God. For me, it's like some of you have had this experience. You know how annoying it is? Someone comes and asks you your advice, and they've got to do this or that, and you tell them all the great reasons they should do this, not that, right? You tell them, they ask you, they're saying, what else should I do? This is, and you tell them all the good reasons they should do this, not that. And then they end up doing that. I'm like, what are you doing? I mean, I had all these good reasons, but it's more than that. It's beyond just the logic of it. It's more like, you know, and I've done this too. I've been a coach of a bad team. Not because the team wasn't talented, but because they didn't listen. Which means they didn't do. Now, in this text, Jesus also quotes Leviticus. And this is, I think, really important for us. He quotes Leviticus 19, and that's the part about loving your neighbor as yourself. Love me some Leviticus. All you Leviticus lovers out there, woohoo, right? You know how you're a big crowd and somebody says the name of a state or a town and everybody goes, woohoo, that's what I always do about Leviticus. It's from Leviticus. I want to be like, yahoo. Okay, thank you. So he quotes Leviticus. To me, the quote is, it gives a tangible example of how we obey the first command. Here's the deal. To say love is very nebulous. It's very vague in some ways, especially to say love God. Now, Jesus himself clarifies that a lot when he says, if you love me, you'll do what I say. If you love me, you'll follow the commands. This is the end, his last big sermon in John that starts in John 13 and goes all the way through the prayer of John 17. He's in this mode. He's talking about the Holy Spirit. He's talking about leaving. And he says, if you love me, you're going to keep my commandments. And my commandment is this, that you love each other. Okay? Because I can see that. How do I know if you love God? There's a eyeball test. Not that you tell me you love God, but if you love your neighbor, I know you love God. Right? Because that's how we know it's this tangible part about loving God. God clarifies that for us because our behavior here, our behavior tells him, are we really listening? Are you listening to God? Because if you listen to God, your behavior would change. Now, sometimes you've also done this, probably with your child or someone else that you've been had the gift of instructing. And they do something that's just not what you have taught them. And you'll say something like this, "You didn't learn that from me." This one, you know, my dad will often say that to me too. I'll do something that's not his ways, and he'll say, "You didn't learn that from me." And this is how God's people were. They didn't learn this, some of their behavior, they didn't learn this from listening to him. Behavior, your behavior is a revelation of who your true teacher is. How you behave is how it shows who you're really listening to. Following both commands, though, either loving God or loving your neighbor, is impossible unless we hear those commands. Unless we hear them. Now, we take our cues, our behavior and attitude cues, from the people and the messages all around us. And so, I want to just go through a list here of things that you do. And the question is, who taught you how? Who taught you how to walk? Okay? I want you, we're going to answer back. Bob's going to kind of feedback here. Who taught you how to walk? Okay, good. Who taught you how to talk? Okay? Who taught you how to cuss? Friends, I got mom and dad up here. No pointing the fingers in the room. But didn't somebody teach you to cuss? It's so interesting because my parents don't cuss. At least I didn't think they did. And, you know, my mom, she really doesn't. Interesting, Amanda's just, I want to say shout out about sarcasm. Who taught you to be sarcastic? Right? Yeah. Maybe it's not genetic. Yeah. Who taught you how to think? Who taught you how to work? What would your boss say about your work ethic? And then who taught you that? Go ahead, say it out loud. Who taught you how to work? Maybe some of these people. Who taught you how to play? Who taught you how to cheat?
I learned that by myself.
Okay, right? I learned that by myself. I have a son that's an ardent rule follower. I have a son that's a cheater. And when they play together, it's a lot of fun to watch. But we learn these things, right? Who learned you how? Who taught you how to vote? How many of you in the upcoming election are going to vote like your parents? How many of you are going to vote like your parents? Okay. Who taught you how to watch TV? Yeah, your mom. Who taught you how to listen to music? One of the debates in my house, not from my parents' side, but from my side down, is, okay, which version of Ticket to Ride is best? The Beatles or Karen Carpenter? Okay, obviously it's the Beatles. Right? I mean, Ticket to Ride by Karen Carpenter makes you want to kill yourself. It's the saddest song. She has the most beautiful voice. Okay, but I have people in my family, and they go, Karen Carpenter. I'm like, oh, who taught you that? You did not learn that from me. Oh, are you with me here? We take our cues. We also take our identity cues from culture or from the world, which is the people and messages around us. Who am I? Am I a winner or a loser? deep down, am I a winner? Do you feel like this is you? Or am I a loser? Am I a mistake? Or am I an overcomer? Who am I? Who am I? Often culture, the world around us, defines our identity. But God has a different voice. He has a different speech. He wants you to hear something different about both your behavior and your attitude, but also about your identity. He's speaking to us. And he's speaking to us in so many different ways. God has a way that's better. But we only know his way if we listen to him. God's way, and we'll talk about this more next week, is a way that we can know. But it's important to know how we come to know his way. He's speaking to us, and I want to emphasize the word speaking. He speaks, and we hear. It's interesting when the Bible talks about itself, they don't say you should read it, they say you should hear it, which is my promo for reading out loud, reading the Bible out loud, even to myself. But he wants us to hear it. Now, we hear it through Scripture. But that's not the only way we hear it. We hear it in our soul. We hear it in our heart. We hear it in our mind. There are things beyond Scripture. There are ways beyond Scripture that God is speaking to us. And that's what I really want us to hone down on in the next few minutes. How is God speaking to us besides through the Bible? Because I think it's really important for us, especially if we're going to hear those messages, love God and love your neighbor. How do I do that? What's the word? What are you doing as you're speaking to me in his word? His word is the Scripture, but his word is more than the Scripture. And Scripture is really tricky anyway. And we've known this since the moment we had Scripture. We've known this, we can see it from the moment that Moses came down from the mountain with the law. We've known that Scripture is tricky, and the trickiness is it always includes interpretation. There's no Scripture that you can really live or understand without some kind of interpretation. Your own interpretation or someone else's interpretation, something, someone is interpreting words off a page into your head and heart. What is that? We all ask the question of Scripture, what does that mean? What does this mean? We read something and we want to know, what does it mean? And we know this, and we know that often Scripture is misinterpreted. Here's one way you know from Scripture itself. Jesus on the Sermon on the Mount, right? He does the Beatitudes. He says, you're salt and light. And then he goes into a series of ways that he is a teacher, Rabbi, is challenging Scripture, or actually he's teaching Scripture, but he does it like this. You've heard that it was said, but I tell you, right? Boom, 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 boom. He goes down this list in Matthew 5. You've heard that it was said, and what was going on is, you've heard this command from the Torah, from the Old Testament, you've heard this command, and this is how you've put it into practice. But I tell you, this is how you should interpret it. And then the next command, I tell you, this is how you should interpret it. Here's another example of that. In John 5, he says this to the Pharisees. He says, you study the Scriptures, and you think that in them, the Scriptures, you possess eternal life. And then he says, these are the very Scriptures that testify about me, yet you refuse to come to me. You refuse to come to me and have life. Just because you know Scripture, just because you read the Bible, doesn't guarantee that you're really listening to God. Let me say this again. Just because you know Scripture, and just because you quote Scripture or read the Bible, that doesn't mean you're listening to God. Listening to God comes in the heart. Example, Satan knows Scripture. In the Bible, Satan quotes Scripture. I believe Satan quotes Scripture to me in my spirit, in my heart. And God, in my spirit, battles Satan's interpretation of Scripture. So we know there's more than going on than just reading it. Reading it is important. If you don't read it, but you can't know it. But there's more, there's another element involved than just my reading and then my own understanding. So when I begin to read Scripture, what I want to do is ask God to help me interpret that Scripture. Help me understand this Scripture. And I'm going to do that by praying to God and trusting that what His Word says is true, that His Holy Spirit lives in me. And that He's going to speak to me in the Scripture and at the same time in my mind and in my heart. He's going to speak to me in the Scripture and in my spirit. And He's going to do this at the same time. Okay, we're talking about how does this happen? And again, I want to go back to Scripture to talk about hearing beyond Scripture. And one of the things that why I'm not sure I'm going to make it next week is because if you let me come back, I'm coming for sure. Shorts, flip-flops. But for this week, I've got homework. And so you might not be a fan of homework, and so if that excludes me, I'll have to get my goal someplace else. So these are those things I just talked about and enjoyed. So His voice speaks to you in your spirit. And this is different for different people, but the Scripture itself is really clear that His voice, that there is a voice in you that is speaking to you. It happens when you read. Okay, this happens when you read. You're reading words, and in your mind, as words hit your brain, you begin to interpret them. Okay? Through whatever kind of filter, usually it's a cultural filter. Usually it's the voices around you who've taught you how to think, who've taught you how to walk, who've taught you how to talk. So you might read one thing, I might read another thing, and we get a different understanding of it. Doesn't that happen all the time? Not only in church, not only with Scripture, but in many things. So how do we hear the voice of God and know it's the voice of God? Well, we're going to come to that, but I just want these last couple of Scriptures. That's the homework part. This last couple of Scriptures, just some, I think, very, to me, insightful ways where God's telling me, He's leading me, His voice is going to speak to me. One is in John 10. My sheep listen to my voice. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. The sheep hear His voice and they know it's His voice. And they know it because of familiarity. Have you ever heard a story told and you thought, that's not the way I heard that story. Somebody's telling the story, but it's not the way I really heard that story. And then I go back and read in the Bible, and I'm like, you know, my way was right. I'm reading it right here. And this other person, I don't know where they got that story, because you've heard the voice, right? Now, some of you know some stories really well, right? And those stories, they probably speak to you. But the Bible as a whole, I think what God wants more, if you really sing in the songs we sang a minute ago, I want more of you. I want to know you more. I want to sit in the quiet place and hear you. These songs we just sang, if you really want that, this matter of the heart, you're going to know more than just the story of the Good Samaritan. And even at that, you're going to know the story of the Good Samaritan better. Sometimes this has happened to you, I bet you, where you've heard someone tell a story from the Bible, and it's not the way you remembered it. And then you go back and read it, and you thought, holy cow, this is the way I remember it. Didn't remember it right. I never knew. Have you ever read the Bible and said, I never knew that? Okay, because the sheep follow Him because they hear His voice. They've heard it over and over and over and over. So reading the Bible, this speaks to both things, both reading the Scripture and listening to the voice, the Holy Spirit. And I don't know. Some things are real whether you believe them or not, you know. I could say, I don't believe in gravity. That doesn't mean gravity doesn't happen. All right? And I believe in the Holy Spirit. And I believe the Holy Spirit is real, lives inside of God's people, and helps them understand His Word. I believe that because that's what the Bible says, but I also believe it because I've experienced that. So, same with these scriptures. One of the things, Ezekiel says, I'm going to put my Spirit in you. I'm going to put my Spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees. I wonder how that happens. Okay, I'm going to put my Spirit in you. Danny, God's Spirit in you. I'm good, thank you. Right? To move you. How is this going on? To follow my decrees. How are you going to know His decrees? I think you then have to read them. But as you read them, God's Spirit is moving you. There's this kind of scripture and God's Spirit moving you, okay? In Isaiah, whether you turn to the right or the left, your ears will hear a voice. Have you ever come up to a decision and you ask God, God, show me the way, and then clarity comes? Now, sometimes you ask God, show me the way, and clarity doesn't come. Okay, we'll talk about that too. Over and over, the Bible is talking and telling us that God is speaking in you, not only through His scriptures, but even He's telling you His Spirit is in you to help you follow the scriptures. For God, it's God who works in you to will and to act. Maybe so. God is in you. And sometimes I'm sitting on the fence. I don't know what, I know the right thing and I don't want, God's in me. He's moving me to will and to act. Okay. Let me give you my own kind of personal example of how I start my days. And encouraged by Amanda to go with this too, even though she didn't know what I was going to say. I didn't know what she was going to say, but here we go. This doesn't happen every day because sometimes I'm not in rhythm. I call it rhythm, my rhythm with God. And a lot of things get me off rhythm, but some days the things that got me off rhythm yesterday don't. It's just, a lot of times has to do with loving God, really, loving God. And trusting the pattern. Trusting the pattern. Huge. I think that's such a great way to trust the pattern. Trust the pattern. For me, the pattern is this, that the first thing I'm going to do in the morning is thank God. Thank you, God, for this day. Thanks for life. Thanks for love. And I do other things by pattern. I brush my teeth before I eat breakfast. How many of you brush your teeth before breakfast? How many after? Okay, you know, we got your own patterns. You're not going to hell because you brush your teeth after breakfast. But I got certain rhythms, certain patterns. So first thing, try and thank. Now sometimes the thing I do first is just try and make it to the bathroom as fast as I can. Sometimes I have to do that before I'm thanking God for the day. Thank God for life, okay? And then what happens to me, I'm going to tell what happens, then I'm going to tell you how it happens to me, what I try to do in a rhythm every day. But Isaiah 50 is what happens. The Lord has given me an instructed tongue. I want you to think about that. He's given me an instructed tongue. And so many times when God instructs my tongue, I just keep it. Right? And that's good sometimes. But sometimes it's this. He gives me an instructed tongue to know the word that sustains the weary. Now, in my job, I'm coming up every day. I don't know who's going to sit. I know all the time. I don't know who I'm going to see. I work at a college campus. And often the people I meet are weary. And they need a word. They need a good word. They need an encouraging word. They need a word of direction. And a lot of times, if I'm just focused on Bob, what they get is a word of, you know. Yes. When is it ever going to stop raining? Yes. And I know. I don't want to vote for Trump or Clinton, either one. What life is coming to? Is life, you know, I can do that. But when God instructs my tongue, I have a word that encourages the weary. Okay? So again, how does that happen? This is what happens. He awakens me in the morning, morning by morning. He awakens my ear like someone who's being taught. This is what happens. Now, how it happens is the prayer I pray, and there's lots of prayers you can pray that end up the same, but a friend of mine kind of donated this to me several years ago when I was in the tank, and this is my scripture prayer in the morning. It's from Psalm 143. So I've said, thank you, God. I've usually started in the coffee about now, and I say, God, let this morning bring me word of your unfailing love. I need your unfailing love more than anything else. For I put my trust in you, so show me the way I should go. And then God starts instructing my tongue. Show me the way I should go. I'm just going to be listening, God. You show me. I trust the pattern. I trust you. Show me the way I should go. Now, quick, turn your page over to practice. This is listening to God practice. My suggestion is to begin the day doing this, but you can do it other times. Find a place without distractions. Find a posture of prayer or reflection and be still and be quiet. And then invite. I usually do this verbally. Invite the Holy Spirit into your heart and mind and ask these basic questions. And it could be any kind. But one is, God, how do you feel about me? You know, one of the things I do is I often tell God how much I love Him. But I rarely sit and listen and wonder, how do you feel about me? And listen. Just sit and listen. Maybe God wants to tell you how much He loves you, but you don't ever give Him a chance because you're doing all the talking. Even the things you say might be really good, but maybe He wants to say something, get a word in edgewise, right? So ask a question. And I'm going to talk more about asking the question later. Ask a yes or no question. God, do you want me to do this? Yes, no. Or I would say, what do you want me to receive today? Now, these last tips I want to hit quick and then we'll be done, but a couple things about listening to God. Harsh talk about myself comes from my own mind or from Satan. God doesn't talk harsh to you about you. God does not speak negatively or harsh about me. Now, down at the bottom it says, He always comes, even if you're in sin, if you're seeking Him, He'll come in gentleness. For instance, He'll tell the woman caught in adultery, neither do I condemn you, go and sin no more. But if you're in rebellion, He will hit you with some condemnation. He'll say, woe to you, you brood of vipers. He'll say this in Mark 13. He'll say it in Matthew 23. God will speak harshly to you if you're in rebellion. But if you're coming to Him and seeking Him, He's not going to say to you, even if you failed Him over and over, He's not going to say, you're a failure. You're a loser. I saw what you did last night. That's not God's way. God does not contradict Scripture. God speaks through our interests. For instance, I understand sports. Lots of stuff God gives me is sports analogies. Who knew God knew about basketball? I have a friend who's a gardener. She gets lots of stuff about gardening. I don't get that. God speaks to me and speaks to you in the language that you understand. God speaks through messages from other sources like songs or billboards. Now, I'm not saying the billboards that say, repent, you're going to hell, quotes of Scripture. Not that necessarily billboard. But he speaks to you through things you might see on a coffee mug or a t-shirt or something like that. He'll speak to you in phrases that you've known in a new context. He also speaks to you through other people, often without them knowing it. Lots of times God says, wait. And sometimes his answer is for us to wait, and while we wait, we reprioritize our requests. Coming more about that next week. Are we going to sing Holy Spirit? Okay. I ask you if we sing this song, and it's an invitation to the Holy Spirit. And already with all the other songs we've sung this morning, it's just powerful. I think what the lyrics of our songs have already said to us, and if we'll just keep those in mind, and as we sing this song, some of you would know it and some of you may not, but we're going to sing this song, and we're going to come back, and next week I'll be here in shorts, flip-flops, and talking more about listening to God.